I spare Father Oscar from preaching today because I gave him the duty last minute. But today, sometimes we ask ourselves, what is Gehenna that Jesus keep talking about? It's often equate to hell, or it's often equate to a very horrible place. But as a matter of fact, at the time of Jesus Christ, Gehenna was the place where people throw their trash. So Jesus is very creative in applying and relating to a place that everybody know. So this place, as you know, trash, especially old trash, when being thrown away, maggots begin to come out, huh? And then all these unfestering smell and reality and liquid begin to come out, right? And then also, when trash begin to lay there for a good while, people begin to burn the trash, and you get this this unpleasant smell of sulfur and all of the chemical reaction. So Jesus then used the image of Gehenna to let people see that this is not how you should live your life. So imagining your life and my life, if we have like a festering wound or like an open wound and we continue to let it slowly eat us, what's going to happen? We're going to have gangrene, right? We're going to have a disease after us. So he's telling us to cut them off so that it doesn't smell like Gehenna. It doesn't smell like this place where people throw their trash. Because at the end of the day, all of our body part, who we are, what we have, is truly important. Because why? Because we're created in the image and likeness of God. So now it's begin to click that we can see Jesus Christ asking us to cut off the things that are hurting us, because he does not want our body or our soul to be festering by the things that are destroying us. Therefore, that is important for us to remind ourselves, not physically. I'm not asking you to go home and begin cutting yourself, okay? Or else CPS and APS begin to call on me, okay? Don't cut yourself. But he's asking you to do it spiritually. He's asking me to do it spiritually too. If we leave a plant, unpruned, uncut, what's going to happen? It's going to waste so much of its energy trying to nourish every single thing that are growing out there, right? So from time to time, as a good gardener, we have to prune our plants, right? So that it has enough energy to build up and to help grow the ones that are important, the one that's going to give life. That's what Jesus is talking about. He's not asking us to be radical in cutting things physically and hurting ourselves, but he's asking us spiritually to cut off the things that are hurting us, the things that are not beneficial for us, so we can actually grow ourselves holistically, body and soul, spirit, and also what actually are the extension of our spirit, our words and our actions. So therefore, my brothers and sisters, I'm asking you to go home today to actually reflect on what are some of the things that Jesus Christ is asking me to let go of. And it begins with prayer. And oftentimes, we come to prayer only asking Jesus to give us what we want or what we need. But do we remember that petition or petitionary prayer is only one style of prayer? There are four popular styles of prayers in the church. The first one is adoration. When we come to prayer, do we give thanks to God for what he has given to us? Adoration. Am I adoring God? Am I lifting my heart up to God to give thanks to him what he has already given to me day in and day out without me asking? Am I grateful for air? You and I should be. Am I grateful for a breathing set of lungs? I should be, until you and I cannot breathe when allergies begin to attack. Right? These things we take for granted, but we are being reminded that through prayers of adoration, we give thanks to God and lift our heart to God for what he already given to us without us asking for it. Second style of prayer is very important. When we pray, do we only pray for ourselves, or do we learn intercessory prayers? Do we intercede for other people? How many of you have had people who have asked you to pray for them? All of us should have that experience, right? People need us. So many people are in hurt, in pain, in suffering, and they ask us to pray for them. How many times in our own prayer have we interceded for them? Have we lifted them up? Have we cared for them by the way that we pray? So intercessory prayer is important after adoration. Third, prayers of contrition. Are we sorry for the times that we have failed to love God and to love our neighbor? Contrition is important because contrition helps us see that we are still in need of grace. We are still in need of God. We're loved by God, not because we're perfect. We're loved by God because He has made us. He has loved us, and therefore, when we fail to love Him in return with our whole heart, it's perfectly fine to be contrite, to say, "Sorry, God, I screw up. Sorry, God, I messed up today. I shouldn't have yelled at my children today. I shouldn't have complained or nagged at my wife or at my husband. I shouldn't be a jerk today while driving down on Kent Boulevard. I shouldn't be this and that. Sorry, God, I was not being a good Christian today. I was not being a good disciple of yours, your instrument, and your child." It's perfectly fine to say sorry to God. And last of all, after all those things, then we can finally end with what we call petitionary prayer. Then we can ask for our needs. But we should always place it at according to your will, O Lord. Right? So if we only begin with petitionary prayer, what's going to happen? It's all about me, what I need, what I want, what I'm missing. But if we let petitionary prayer be the last and begin with adoration, giving thanks, right? Lifting people up through intercessory prayer, then be contrite for the times that we have failed to love God, then our petitions become sincere and heartfelt. It's no longer about us. It's no longer about what I'm not having. It's no longer about what I want. But it's ground us with the beginning, with adoration, with thanksgiving, with lifting other people up, with knowing that I have failed to love. Then I can then petition God to grant me the strength that I can love Him as He has loved me. That's how we can come to prayer. That's how we can come to prayer, praying for our enemies even though we don't like them. Don't be like politicians. Don't be yelling at other people that you and I don't like. Don't be demonizing them because they don't share the same ideologies that we do. Don't be angry, resentful, or frustrated with the things of this world. We can always bring them to prayer. Why? Because prayer is powerful. Why? Because God listens to our prayer. Why? Because our prayer is our lifeline. It's what lifts us up from the mundane things of this world. We can always pray for one another. We can always pray for ourselves. If we're frustrated with what's going on with the world, with our society, what can we do? Pray. Pray with our whole heart. Sometimes we say, "But Father, I keep praying and God doesn't give. Perhaps it's not according to what you and I want. But I truly believe in His divine providence. And He's bigger than us. He's a big boy. He can take care of it. Believe in Him." Therefore, my brothers and sisters, don't let the foul smell and the things that divide us against one another destroy us and eat us from inside. Cut them off. And cut them off with prayer. Cut them off with the way that we lift our hearts up to God. Cut them off with how we choose to love God in the midst of our unlikeness. And today, we also celebrate the three archangels, Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael, or Raphael. Michael, Mikael, his name teaches us that when we're in temptation, we can invoke his name. Mikael means who is like God. When doubts come, when temptation come, when weakness come, we ask ourselves, who is like God? Who is like God? Not you, not politician, not the government, no one else. Who is like God? I'm going to put my trust in God. And then it's going to lead us toward our second archangel, Gabriel. Gabriel means God is my strength. Who is like God? God is my strength. No one else. God is my strength. God is where I put my hope, my faith, my everything. And it leads us toward the last archangel whom we celebrate today, Raphael or Raphael. God is my healing. Not only God is my strength, he is my healing. Only he can heal the division, the wounds, the hurt, the suffering, the things of this world. So may we turn to the archangels, knowing that no one is greater than our God, for he is our strength and our healing. And we can always begin to live our faith with the way that we pray, through adoration, through intercessory, through prayers of contrition, and ending with the prayers of our petitions according to his will.